No, we're still mourning. Good to see you all. We're coming to the end. Today is the last in our series, the last installment of the culture of honor and how we can build that into our families. And so when we build a culture of honor, it will change the way we do things in our families. It will change the way we interact husband to wife, wife to husband. It'll also change the way you interact parents to children and children to parents. It will change the way that we view our bosses at work. It will change the way that we view those in authority over us. It will change the way that you look at the police or the soldiers. It will give you a great reverence and a great level of respect for those people and the things that they do for us. And so this morning I just want to Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, for your people, that as we gather, Lord God, around your word this morning, that you would illuminate things in our hearts, that, Lord, we would be able to hear what it is that you're saying to us through your Holy Spirit today. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. I thank you for everybody in this place today. And I pray in advance and thank you, Lord God, that for the healings, Lord God, that you're bringing in this place. Father, the provision that you're bringing into people's lives, Lord, and just the illumination of your word in their lives, Father. I pray, Lord God, that your word would transform us so that we might grow closer and closer to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Amen. So the whole goal of our lives is that each and every day we should be getting more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not less and less. More and more. As we progress in the things of God, we should be getting, that means that if we started off not being necessarily a happy person and a cheerful person, as we begin to interact and do business with God, that means our countenance changes, we smile more, because we are beginning to interact with everything that the Lord has for our lives. So we have to, every year, our lives, we need to get freer and freer from those things that hold us back so that we can be everything that the Lord wants us to be. The way it works in the kingdom of God is that whenever you come across some things, of course, you know, we're doing this series on honor. And it's quite easy that as we approach something like this, that we might take some exceptions to some of the things that are being said. Children, you need to obey your parents. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Or it's to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And you're just like, oh, I don't think I really want to do that. Lord, you don't know my spouse. You don't know my wife. Or it could be that wives respect your husband. You're like, oh, if only you knew him. So this will cause some issues in our lives, some issues in our lives that we gristle with. So what I want to say this morning is that whenever something is said, not just in this setting, but in any setting, and there is some objection that you are feeling on the inside, it's not sitting well with you. My encouragement is that you don't ignore that. You need to go and the next time you meet with the Lord and say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling about the things that were said today. Help me understand what's really going on in my life. Because if I say something and you are reacting to it, then I'm talking to you. But if I say something and you don't react, then maybe I'm not talking to you. Now, the whole purpose is that whenever we feel some disquiet and we're just not feeling particularly happy about the words that have been spoken, that's an indication that the Holy Spirit or the Lord is touching something in your life. What you have to do is to go and sit with them and saying, hey, Lord, this is what is really going on. Help me understand what's really taking place. And then the Lord will then help you along the way. But if you don't do that, you will find yourself going around the mountain round and round. You will still be facing the same issues over and over again because you refuse to deal with them. So this morning, as we're finishing off, we're going to finish off strong, very strong. But I want, as I read this next passage of Scripture, the story of the Good Samaritan, I want you to see and place yourself in the story. See and place yourself in the story. And so it starts off in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and it says, "And a certain lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law, stood up to test him, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he replied, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this habitually.'" How often is he supposed to do this? "Habitually, and you will live," which means just make it a part of your life. "But he, wishing to justify and vindicate himself, asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Sometimes what happens is that whenever we are faced with things, we tend to want to skirt around the issues. We say, "I have done all this," but sometimes we want to circumvent, we want to put aside the real issue that's going on in our lives. So then the Lord replies with this story. "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings, beat him, and went their way unconcerned, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, who was traveling came upon him, and when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion for him and went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put on him his own pack animal and brought him to an inn." And so we know that he paid the guy some money and says, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you." And then, so the question was then asked, "Which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to the man who encountered the robbers?" So the lawyer then says, "The one who showed compassion and mercy to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same. Go and do likewise. Go and constantly do the same." Honor is about seeing value. Honor is about recognizing and responding to the God-given value in other people. The priest and the Levite saw a man in need and they went by. Not because they didn't see him, because the scripture says they saw him, but they didn't see him as worthy of their time, effort, or interruption. The Samaritan, on the other hand, who was a stranger, honored this man's humanity with compassion, with sacrifice, and action. And this tells us that honor is something that's always in motion. It is seen by the things that you do. This is why people get upset when they say, "What kind of a God do you serve?" Because if you served a true God, why would you ignore the person that's on the street? It's because of our conduct. We say we are Christians, we believe in the Lord, but we pass by people who are struggling. So honor is in action. It's in the things that we do. Understand that these religious leaders were culturally expected to be the most honorable, yet their actions dishonored the man and ultimately dishonored God. There was an expectation. These guys knew the scriptures. They knew God. They should have acted a certain way, but they obviously then didn't. And so they brought shame, not just upon themselves, but upon the Lord as well. The Samaritan, being an outsider, demonstrated honor by treating someone with mercy, dignity, and care, without expecting anything in return. And so Jesus ends the story with a challenge to you and I. And he says to the guy, go and do likewise. Because honor isn't just a profession of the mouth, it's a position of our heart. We can say whatever we want to say, but how you act, that's going to determine everything. Because our understanding of Scripture should translate into concrete action. Our understanding of Scripture should translate into concrete action. There's no point in quoting all the words, all the Scripture, but then when it comes to walking it out, you don't do it. Jesus here is drawing a strong contrast between those who knew the law and those who actually followed it, and it became part of their lifestyle and conduct. Those who knew the law and those who actually followed it. So I wonder, of those three, which one are you? Do we honor others only when convenient, only when we feel like we need to? Do we pass by because of pride, prejudice, pressure? Do we not honor because we are harboring offense and unforgiveness? Because if there's unforgiveness in our lives, it's very difficult for you to honor somebody, number one, if you are harboring offense against them. So are we living out honor even when it's inconvenient? This is why if we take the Bible for what it is and sometimes how it can pierce our hearts, in that the Bible says that if you bring your offering to the altar, your gift to the altar, and you then remember that you have an issue with your brother or with your sister, it then instructs us to say, perhaps leave your gift at the altar, go back and sort your issue out, and then come to the altar. I wonder, whether, for some, we just ignore that and we leave our gift at the altar and we don't address the real issues that are going on in our lives, that we are harboring a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of offense that harbor our ability to be able to honor people. So the idea then of honoring your parents is painful because of what? So perhaps, for some of us, the idea of honoring our parents becomes very painful because of what we experienced growing up. They were harsh to us. So now honoring them, is not necessarily an easy thing. Honoring government or spiritual leaders feels impossible because of disappointment. We've been disappointed by those that have been placed in authority over us, whether it's in the church, whether it's in government, because perhaps they have abused their power, or they're hypocrites. They say one thing on the pulpit, like I'm doing now, but I totally act another way outside of this forum here. So as a result of that, we lose faith and trust in leadership. And as a result, we withhold the honor that is necessary, that is due to them because of that. And so I'm not asking you today to pretend that the pain isn't real. In this parable we have just read, Jesus doesn't focus on whether the man deserved help. He focuses on whether the listener is willing to become a neighbor. Are you willing? There is a willingness that is required. Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to let go so that you do honor as is required by the Lord? Because honor begins with who I am, not who the other person is. The Samaritan honored that person who was not from his tribe, was inconvenient to him. The man was unable to repay him. Yet his response was with compassion. Not because the man was worthy, but because his own heart was yielded to God. Biblical honor isn't about agreeing with someone or endorsing their behavior. It's about recognizing God's principle and posture in how we treat people. Honoring a parent doesn't mean pretending they didn't hurt you. It might look like you gotta forgive them. In fact, the natural posture we should have is one where we are continuously forgiving. This is why the Lord said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And the Lord says 70 times 7. Is that it's a continuous thing. It's not a limit. It's just the reason he expressed the number that was large was just to say it needs to become a natural part of our walk. Lord, I forgive so-and-so, you know, that cut me off on the corner. I forgive my, whoever it is you're forgiving. I'm forgiving my parents, they did this to me. My mother dropped me when I was young, they laughed at me when I was at school. All those things, because you know what you're doing? You are unloading stuff off the baggage that we carry. You are unloading that off your life. You cannot experience freedom if you're constantly holding on to stuff because you're going to be weighed back by those things. So our posture should be always of letting go and letting go and letting go. So in honoring our parents, it might look like we got to forgive them. We set respectful boundaries. No. This is where the boundary is. It might mean for some of us we are praying for them rather than gossiping about them and telling everybody that they were such bad parents. You know you've got an issue. If the first time you meet somebody, you then say, hi, my name is Stephen, and you know that when I was young, you know, my mother and father never really stayed with each other, and, you know, my such and such was very cruel to me. There's just an outpouring of grief. That's not a healthy thing. So when you see that happen in your life, recognize that there is a sour spot. There's a sore spot in your life that requires forgiveness. Honoring authority doesn't mean you stay silent in injustice. It means you disagree without dishonor. You stay prayerful. This is why it's important that when somebody does something bad to you, bless them with a prayer. Lord, bless them. Increase them. Because guess what it does? It keeps your heart right with the Lord. Romans says, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what we do, the practical steps we can take. So honor is a reflection of God's nature in us, not a reward for others' good behavior. The one thing that happened through this parable that we need to understand is that everyone gets to make a choice. The priest and the Levite all made a choice and said, no, I am not going to help. The Samaritan also made a choice, but it's his choice that caused them to stop and to take action. The man in the ditch didn't change, but their hearts revealed who they truly honored. So the hearts of those three guys, the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan, revealed who they truly honored because they were doing it unto God. So ultimately, that's the person that they honored. And I wonder, which one are you? Are you the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? When you have an opportunity to let go of offense, you have a choice that you're going to have to make today. Do I let go or do I hold on? Because if you hold on, unfortunately, you are going to stay the same for a very long time. So what happens in life is that if I get teased because of my big ears, and I'm 5 years old, and they tease me in the playground, oh my goodness, you got big ears. You really got big ears. Woo! Those satellites, you can pick up everything. You know, you can pick up everything. And so now, because I want to not hear that, guess what I wear? I could wear a woolen hat. It could be summer and 40 degrees, but the woolen hat stays on. Because I'm trying to see that if these people don't see my ears, they're not going to call them out. And so I do things to avoid pain. They might use me, oh, you're Dumbo. You know, you got big ears like an elephant and all that. So I then put on the woolen hat or a hat to cover the ears. It's okay for somebody at 5 years old to do that so that they can't hear the insults that are coming their way. But unaddressed, those become big issues when somebody's in their 30s, when somebody's 35, 40, when somebody's 60, 65, when somebody's 80. Those things that are not addressed, they'll come back and they will cause some havoc in your lives. So we have a choice to make. Just like the Samaritan did, he made a choice to say, hey, what is your willingness to let go of those things that stop you from becoming honorable to those that you need to become honorable to? Ultimately, honor is the outflow of the fear of God in our lives. It is the visible expression of the fear of God. And so to fear God is to hold him in the highest regard. And honor is how that reverence shows up in our decisions, in our relationships, in our leadership. Without fear, we will slip into familiarity, into compromise and dishonor. And you know what? The fear of God is not tested when people are honorable, but it's tested when they're not honorable. Because the fear of God is about recognizing and honoring authority. What can happen is that we can all be on the same level in an office. We're all, let's just say, we're all accountants in the office. Everybody's, we're on the same level. But then tomorrow the boss says, you know what, I am going to appoint Donovan as, he's going to be the manager of all accountants. Now, I have a choice to make. Yesterday, we were on the same level with Donovan, but today, we're on a different level. There were certain things that Donovan wouldn't say to me because we were on the same level. But now he's in a managerial position. He's got to tell me that, Stephen, I noticed that you always come to work late. That's his job as a manager to do. Now, whether I am going to honor his position, because in my mind I'm saying, yesterday we were boys. We were on the same level. But today you're telling me what to do. And I can get offended by that. But this is where honor is shown, when you disagree with people. Not when you're agreeing. It's when somebody comes and checks you and keeps you accountable in your life. Will you be honorable then? There's a story that is told in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 23. In this story, it's about Eli the priest and his conduct and some of the stuff that he failed to address in his life. So what was happening here was that the priests obviously had certain duties that they needed to do. And so Eli Eli had his sons that were serving in the temple, but these were wicked. Eli's sons were particularly not good. And it says, now Eli was a very old man, but he was aware of what his sons were doing. to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the temple. Eli said to them, I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. If someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede? But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. So anyway, the warning then comes out through a prophet to say, hey, because you have done this, these are the consequences that are going to occur to you. So it says, one day a man of God came to Eli, and he says, I revealed myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. And then he says, and I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you, priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people. Goes on to outline all the things that the Lord had against the prophet Eli and his sons. So Eli had confronted his sons about their immoral and irreverent behavior at the temple. They were dishonoring the offerings of God, and of course, sleeping with the women who serve at the tent of meeting. And so even though Eli rebuked them verbally, he does not restrain or remove them, as would have been required. And because of that, the prophet comes, and Eli's household will be cut off, and God will raise himself a faithful priest who honors him. So the fear of God in our lives requires us honoring what is holy. Because he says, why do you honor your sons more than me? Eli is rebuked for prioritizing his family over reverence for God. Fearing God means that we treat his house, his word, and his people with respect. Eli feared the fallout from his sons more than he feared God's judgment over his life. So when you fear God, you won't compromise your spiritual integrity to keep peace with people. The fear of God is demonstrated through action, not just words. Eli spoke to his sons but didn't take any corrective action to remove them. His passivity shows a lack of godly fear, because the fear of God in your life and my life should produce decisive obedience, even when it's uncomfortable. Saying the right thing is not enough. The fear of God compels correction in our lives, repentance, and accountability. This is why it's important that when you're doing this journey of life, don't do it by yourself. Do it with somebody that you give permission to bring correction into your life. Because it says two is better than one. Because if one falls, then the other can raise him up. Because that scripture then says, woe to him who walks what? Alone. God rejects those who treat him with contempt. Because he says in verse 30, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The fear of God keeps us from becoming casual, entitled, or familiar with sacred things. This means that perhaps the way that I treat my family, my wife, my children, the things that God has entrusted in my life differently, it's not familiar. When something is familiar, it's got no, you don't value anything that's familiar. You only value things that, the reason why you lock up your house every night when you go to sleep is because you value your safety, you value your possessions, so you lock them up. If you didn't care about them, you wouldn't lock them up at all. Like, whatever. We cannot become casual when it comes to the things of the Lord. There has to be a fear of this awe that we have of God. Not that he would destroy us, you know, and stomp us like cockroaches. But there's just this thing, you know, where we're saying, hey, Lord, let the fear of God come upon my life. The fear of God leads to God's favor and enduring legacy. He says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. God promises us, you see, that when we fear God in our life, it brings alignment, it brings us into alignment with his heart, and it opens the door to lasting influence and favor. This is the whole purpose of us doing this series on the culture of honor, is because we want to receive the reward of honor in our lives. So there is an alignment with his heart, which opens the door to lasting influence and favor. So first and foremost, you know, we've spoken about we have to have to honor mothers and father. The word tells us that. It then tells us that in Romans that, you know, you have respect for civil authorities and those that the Lord has put in charge of you, because it says they are God's servants, so we have to honor them. So that's important we do that. Then, you know, it then goes on to say in other scriptures that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and then they gives it prescribes certain things we need to be doing. And so my challenge today is, you know, for us, that we try and love our wives as Christ loved the church. We don't demand, you will respect me, because the word of God says so. We won't demand. In fact, what we will become, we will rise up to become the person that can be respected. Rather than demand, we rise up in what we need to do so that somebody can, just like we do with the Lord. Does the Lord say you need to serve me? In some instances, he does. But generally because of the love of God in our lives. So when we do things for him, it is out of a love that overflows in everything that we do. It's never out of compulsion. So we need to, as husbands, we need to encourage our wives. Speak positive into them. Hey, you can do this. You can do everything that you put your mind to. You know, you can wash the dishes, you know, if you put your mind to it. You thought I was going to say something important? No. Yeah. If you put your mind to it, yes, you can clean the house, you know. So. But no, we encourage them and say, hey, whatever it is the Lord has put in your heart, you can do. We speak positive things in their lives. We nurture them as they incubate things for our families. One of the things you have to do is, it says that a man who loves himself, you need to love yourself, you need to love your wife as you love yourself. So how that's outworked in my life is that if I buy myself a watch, my wife gets a watch. If I buy myself headphones, she gets a set of headphones. And there's no science behind that except this, except wanting to show my children that, hey, I'm not shining more than my wife is shining. The only thing that doesn't apply to is shoes. That's the only exception to that rule. Eh? But generally, my heart's desire is that she's not excluded, because I value her. That's how I try and show value. And that's the message I'm trying to communicate to my kids, that, hey, you know, how come mom has got a crappy watch or phone? It's because of that. But first and foremost, above honoring all those people we've been called to honor, we honor God more than anybody else. Even over our wives. Do you guys know why God nearly came and killed Moses? Do you understand why? Because he honored his wife more than he honored God. He was told, go and deliver the children of Israel. And he was given instructions to circumcise the kids. He circumcised the first one. Then the wife intervened. and said, no, you shall not circumcise the second one. And then it said that the Lord had come to kill Moses. And then eventually she circumcised the son and threw the circumcision stuff onto Moses. And the Lord, that saved him. So there's limitations to honoring all these people that we've mentioned. God comes first and foremost in our lives. So we have to honor God above all else. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. Can we stand as we finish? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, here I am. The Lord said, do not reach out with the knife in your hand against the boy and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham's willingness to lay Isaac down was the highest form of honor, and it became the doorway to divine provision, legacy, and blessing in his life. We have this fear, not because we're scared of him, but because we reverence him. That when the call is made, you know, the call is made that we should be knocking down the door to attend prayer. Now, I understand, of course, you got work and all of that. But I think what we place of high value, we will always make sure that we attend. I was at I do this coaching, and I'm a part of the John Maxwell team. It's called Maxwell Leadership now. And one of the things that they do, they've got these phone calls that happen at 2 a.m. And I was at a workshop, and everybody was complaining that, oh, it's too hard because, you know, the American time, when it's happening in America during the day, it's nighttime for us. And the president just got up and said, hey, all those are just excuses. If you really value something, you will go for it in your life. If you really esteem something, if it means something to you, you will make the time. You will wake up. And my encouragement is that the reverence that we have for the Lord begins to increase. The fear of God in our lives needs to go up, because we know that God, there is a blessing for us having the fear of God in our lives. So as we finish, God is not trying to hurt you. He wants us to trust him, to have reverence for him and his purpose. So Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are good and that you are kind and that you are loving. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, a deep level of fear of you would rise up on the inside of us. A reverence of who you are, just as it was in Acts, Lord God, when Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives because they didn't fear the Lord. Let that rise up in our lives, Father. That we, Lord God, would not be reliant on our emotions or our feelings. But Father, we would trust you, Lord God, that we would honor because you have called us to honor. You above anything else, Lord God, but all those that you have placed in authority over us. Help us, Father, to deal with the offense in our lives that obstructs our ability to be able to honor. That we would be those, Father, that would honor authority, all authority, that we would honor our wives, love them and respect them, that our children. And so, Father, I just thank you this day for everybody in this place. And I just pray, Father, that the awe of God would rise up in our families, would rise up in our lives. I give you all the praise and all the glory. And so this morning, it's an invitation to be in relationship with our God. And it's just a simple prayer of invitation to invite Jesus into your life. But also with the fear of God is to say, Lord, I don't want to play games with you anymore. I want to be serious with you. Where there is sin in your life, You want the fear of God to come so that you would stop sinning in your life. So this invitation to invite Jesus into your heart, if you would say this after me, Father, thank you for sending Lord Jesus to die on the cross for me and forgiving me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today and follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. And so as we prepare to worship, if that is you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand so that I can see. So I want us to pray. If you need prayer for anything in your life that you are struggling to deal and to let go of offense in your life, that today you want some prayer, please come to the front. And so let's just get ready to sing. Thank you.
Holy, holy.